This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Only in America. Welcome back, by the way. Fourth and final hour, Monday edition.
We'll be talking about a sensitive topic. Women, ladies, in 15 minutes, that makes me so mad. And if it was someone groping a bunch of men, we would not even discuss this, but it's a bunch of people groping women, and so we're going to let that go.
Because men would enjoy it.
Yes, that is coming up at 5:15.
Wow.
Brawgate, take two. We will talk about it at 5:15.
It was a joke, Dan. I heard your deep sigh over there. Only in America, Sean Diddy Combs' vast music catalog has seen a jump in
streams. Nice transition.
You just proved my point.
It was already in my hand when we came back, and then
Speaking of groping, allegedly.
I'm not going to start reaching for new bounce stories because I didn't know what she was going to say since his arrest last week and the unsealing of the indictment against him. Okay. Usher has spoke out about his tweets mysteriously disappearing after his friend Sean Diddy Combs was arrested last week. Over the weekend, almost all of his posts and media were seemingly wiped clean. His fans noticed. Usher claiming Sunday his account was hacked.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Account got hacked, and damn, y'all ran with it, he wrote in a tweet. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I tell you what, there's a lot of videos of very famous people coming out of saying, like, this guy's my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
The parties at his house are great.
I'm sure they are.
Can't believe what goes on in the back rooms at his house.
No, actually, I do believe it.
By the way, violent crime, the FBI's out with their crime statistics today. Violent crime in the United States dropped an estimated 3% last year, including a dramatic drop in murders. The murder rate in the U.S., was down 11.6%
Wow.
In 2023. That's right.
Speaking of murders and those old newspapers that we were reading earlier in the program, I was cleaning out my house that is now vacant and still for sale if you're in the market because the interest rates have gone down. They had all these newspapers in the back of my closet.
So was interest in your home.
that my grandmother had saved.
Wow, that was nice.
Various global events of interest, like...
Can it get any lower?
World War II, President Kennedy's assassination is in that stack of newspapers. Mm-hmm. The Topeka tornado is in that stack of newspapers. One of the articles that you did not see in there, Scott, and it just jogged my memory, is about Kansas City's, quote, like... out of control murder rate.
Now keep in mind, this was in the 1940s or 50s
or so. It was just out of control. And, you know, the FBI is looking into like what's going on in Kansas City. There were 33 murders the year that was written in some of those old papers. I read the article, 33, which, you know, in 1940 or 60, whenever that was, it's still 33 too many.
But per capita, because there weren't as many people living in the city.
Is that still as bad as it is today? I still think it's lower per capita.
Oh, probably, yeah. But back then, they were like, oh my gosh, clutching pearls. You know, we've had 32, 33 murders.
And I don't want to say most of them. Some of them were probably mob related.
But several were.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm just guessing. I don't have any firsthand knowledge of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. Is there a mob tour still here in Kansas City? I want to do it.
There is?
Yeah.
Well, I gave you that book over there.
I don't want to read. I just want to go on a mob tour.
Oh.
30 was how many they knew about.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
Probably 30 on the bottom of the river wearing concrete boots. Some young people are splashing out on luxuries like travel and designer clothes instead of saving in a trend that's being characterized as doom spending on social media. Doom spending is when a person mindlessly shops to self-soothe because they feel pessimistic about the economy and their future. According to the publication Psychology Today, says one senior lecturer whose name I can't pronounce, the practice is both unhealthy and fatalistic. It's happening because young people are chronically online and feel like they're constantly receiving bad news. It makes them feel like Armageddon, said the senior lecturer. These young people are then translating these bad feelings into bad spending habits.
Yep. Doom spenders.
Need to get out and touch some grass.
Well, maybe get off being online. Because everybody else online, you know, they've got the nice trendy clothes and they're out on vacation and they're having the time of their lives.
Listen to one of the women young women that they interview for this article. She said, 2 years ago, I was spending carelessly on clothes and travel, despite the fact that I was earning less money than I do now. Largely because she felt like she would never be able to afford to buy a house. So some of it is, I'm going to be careless, .. because what's the point? I'm not going to be able to live that American dream, so I might as well go out in a credit carded blaze of glory.
Well, but that's just reverse stupid thinking. Of course you can't afford a house at 23 or 24. A lot of people can't. You know, I mean, it, for the younger generation, with respect, if you think that we graduated college, or at least me, graduated college and moved straight into a nice house, that was not the fact.
Nope.
I lived in a cockroach-infested apartment in Lawrence, which is probably where my fear of cockroaches comes from.
They spoke to one guy who used to spend lavishly on designer clothing, the latest technology products, and going out for drinks. He says people will buy 2 of 3 brand new cars, and quote, the reason why is because they realize that saving up for a house is going to take such a long time, so I'm going to spend it on other items that make me feel better instead.
And yet, these homes, which, by the way, yes, they're priced high right now, or higher than probably is sustainable for a long period of time, they will come down. I need not remind you, I bought my house in Roland Park at the height of the Great Recession. Now, hopefully we never go through one of those again, but we will go through a recession again.
It ebbs, it flows.
And I got that house for $130,000.
And right now it's selling for $250,000.
Higher.
Yeah, it's probably higher.
Yeah.
It also talks about, though, Scott, your relationship with money for millennials, Gen X, it doesn't matter who you are, really comes straight from your
parents
and how you were taught, how you viewed the management of money. And you know me, I just don't want to deal with it. I hate it, and I don't want to deal with it.
My dad was a brilliant saver and a brilliant investor, and so was his father.
It also goes to, do the younger ones have goals? Are they working towards something 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it more a, hey,
live now.
Let's party now.
Live now.
Pay later.
Yeah.
You're going to be paying later.
All right. It's time to talk about Brawlgate because it's happening again. I will remind everyone first before we get into this discussion, our next guest joins us live on the show here. There was a $400,000 lawsuit and settlement against Jackson County, I believe.
Correct.
The last time women were asked to either remove their bras or not wear them going into the courthouse.
And don't laugh at that, audience. That was an actual suggestion.
That happened. Well, just don't wear a bra. As I'm going in as an attorney to meet with my client who's accused of rape or murder. Great. Yeah, you're right. I'll just let him hang.
Mm-hmm.
It is happening again in another county that apparently doesn't read the news about the county next door.
913-586-7798. We'll get with our guest in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. So let me just read you the first sentence in this story from Fox 4. This is 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago to the... Actually... 2 years ago to the day, Jackson County has agreed to pay $405,000 to settle 2 lawsuits filed in a dispute that began when some underwire bras set off metal detectors at the county detention center. The Jackson County legislature approved the settlement this week for 2 longtime jail employees who alleged in a sexual discrimination lawsuit that they were reprimanded and given different duties when they repeatedly failed to pass the screening machines at the jail.
Guess what happens when you don't pass the screening machine, Scott?
I don't know. I don't wear underwire bras, but I'm assuming that they pull you aside.
Yep. I'm going to read this post a few days ago, which led us to this topic today. She writes, today I entered the Wyandotte County Courthouse at the attorney entrance, purposefully not wearing an underwire bra so I could avoid the cringy public boob grab. But now the sensitivity is set so high that I had to take every pin and clip out of my hair. I was mad. I told the guard their security measures are ridiculous. I went to the bathroom, got to court late, and then was followed by the deputy in charge of the courthouse security and scolded for not respecting his authority to secure his courthouse and threatened with jail. Word got around about my encounter. Another older female attorney told me that all of the women are mad about this. She complained but got the same law and order treatment. One judge even walked by making a joke as an attorney got the boob check. I am here to tell you they either don't pay attention to the news in Wyandotte County, don't understand non-consensual touching, or they just want to write a check, which is what they are going to end up doing.
Nicole Forsythe with Forsythe Law, LLC, joining us on the KMBZ hotline. She is the woman who wrote the piece that Dana just read. Nicole, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
I cannot believe we are talking about this again. This was heavily covered on all the news channels, in all of the newspapers, even the Pitch Weekly, I think, picked this up 2 years ago when Jackson County went through this. Can you remind our listeners why it all started in the first place? Like, what do they think a female attorney is going to do coming into the attorney entrance to meet with clients?
So in Jackson County, I believe it started a little bit earlier. 2 years ago is when they settled the employment lawsuits that were filed under the Missouri Human Rights Act. I believe it started in 2018 when they installed new metal detectors in the Jackson County Detention Center that females, if we alerted them with our underwire bras, we would have to take them off and place them in a locker to go have a contact visit with our client. And I want to add that it wasn't just female attorneys. It was anybody on the defense team. So if you sent a paralegal, a female investigator, anybody who needed to have a meaningful sit-down conversation with the defendant went through this procedure.
Why can't they do something like the airlines do, like with the TSA pre-pass or whatever, where you're obviously an attorney, you have business in that building, you're frequently there, you've done so without any problems in the past. Why not get you screened as if, hey, we know that Nicole is only here to represent her client, to speak with her client today. She gets the TSA pre-pass.
Well, you know, we did reach a resolution, and I wasn't in the leadership group in the Jackson County. I was very much a part of the protest. The resolution was that if your bra alerted the metal detector, that you would be wanded. And I will say that the distinction in this new incident over in Wyandotte County is that it's not just female attorneys. It's also any woman who walks into the main courthouse will go through the heightened screening, and they will be subjected to the groping of their boobs.
Nicole, anyone who has a high school student understands that those machines can be calibrated. You can calibrate them so that they don't go off in that region under the assumption that a woman is going to be wearing a bra.
Well, and I find this interesting because my first approach was to go to the presiding judge. And he said, you know, I'm not in charge of security, but I'll call the sheriff. And he sent me an email back and said, you need to talk to the deputy in charge. They know this is a problem. So I'm thinking they know this is a problem. They're probably going to work for a solution. And this was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. That's why my Friday post was so meaningful, is that it wasn't alert. It's never alerted for the little clips in my hair. And it wasn't alerting for my underwire, which tells me they are actually heightening the sensitivity, not trying to figure out a way to calibrate it so that we aren't subjected to these boob gropings.
So, you know, and I don't, I kind of want you to be graphic. I want you to be detailed. When the machine goes off, let's say you go in wearing a bra, you are then pulled aside, and actually physically what happens to you at that point, and who is doing it?
So when this first started happening, you usually had to wait for a female deputy to come down. Right now they do have a deputy almost always stationed that is female. And so you go through, you have to step aside. You are in a public hallway, a hallway that your opposing counsel is walking through. Your client, if they're out of custody, might be walking through, and judges are walking through. There's no privacy. You hold up your arms. The woman stands behind you, and she, in varying degrees of invasiveness, depending on the deputy, will feel around your underwire. Some of them feel up under it and see your boob. Some of them just pat it. The deputy referred to these as pat-downs. I would say they are anything but pat downs. Anytime somebody is touching my breasts like that, that is not a pat down. That's an invasive violation of my bodily autonomy, which they do recognize in the state of Kansas.
I don't understand how they could not, how, not only because of the Jackson County case, Nicole, but if you are touching a woman's breast, you can't do that. I don't know how else to say it. You cannot legally do that. And what they're going to say, I'm guessing, is it's implied consent. Well, you're not giving your consent, but you cannot represent your client effectively if you can't be there.
Well, and it's not just as an attorney. I feel like the situation in Wyandotte, I know the main entrance also has this heightened screening because I had a doctor tell me she had to go, she went through that. I assume she was there to testify. And she was also groped on her way in because of her bra. So let's say you are there to try to get a protection from abuse order, or you're there to testify in your sexual assault case, or you're just there to pay your taxes or serve on a jury. You're also going to be subject to this, according to what the deputy in charge told me. And he said there would be no exceptions, that the public, unless you have a badge, I will say that is the exception. If you have a badge to get in, so you have to, either the presiding judge decides to give you a badge because you're there. I don't know. Okay, so the public defenders, they get badges. Employees, of course, get badges. And private attorneys who have contracts to work with the specialty courts, such as like the Veterans Court or the Mental Health Court, they get badges. But private attorneys and private citizens, he said, we would all be treated the same, no special exception.
Very quickly, Nicole, if we could, because we're short on time. The judges and the DAs, they don't have to go through this security at all. They just walk around it?
Yes. If you have a badge, if you work in the public defender's office, which is not housed in the courthouse, you just walk right in. If you have a contract with a specialty court, you walk right in. If you work in the courthouse, you just walk right in.
And there's, go ahead, continue. Sorry
even,
to interrupt.
Even pilots are screened going into the airport. I mean, I have so many problems with this, Nicole, but one of them is this is gender specific. Clearly, this is gender specific.
Yes, it is gender. And I also want to say with the wand, if you walk in with a metal device or medical device that alerts the sensor, they will wand you. And mm-hmm. I ask, why can't we be wanded?
Why can't you
what's
be?
So hard about that?
Why not?
I didn't get an answer. These are the rules.
Okay. Now, in your post, you write this one sentence, which I found troubling to say the least. One judge even made a joke about it when he walked by an attorney as she was getting her boob check. Don't name the judge. It seems amazingly inappropriate for somebody in a position like that to be making a joke in public about an attorney having this conducted. Can you, if you can do it cleanly, share the joke?
Oh, the joke was, I don't know if that would disclose. I was not personally there for it.
Okay.
I was told by this attorney because she was so appalled that this happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was basically like, we need to do something. And, you know, this is unacceptable. We can't have this happening. I will also say there in Jackson County, there were a lot of females affected by this. And
yes,
we had the men behind us. The men supported us. There are about three females that I know that are private counsel that do indigent work over there that have to go through this. We don't have a big team of us. And I just happen to be the one who is the loudest in my opposition to this policy. And I really appreciate this platform to alert people that this isn't just happening to attorneys. It's happening to everybody who goes in the courthouse.
Do you have the right to say, no, you're not allowed to touch my breast? And if you say no, what, you're just not allowed to go into court?
Right. You won't be cleared through security and you will be turned away. And if you protest too much, I don't know. There might be consequences, so we'll see. Apparently, the problem was is I was using some colorful language to describe how stupid the policy was.
have you or the other attorneys considered a lawsuit?
We are exploring all of our options.
Good.
So this kind of imploded on Friday when I had my encounter with the deputy in charge, and I spent my weekend figuring out what I was going to do. You guys approached me about talking about it on the air, which I really appreciate. And I'm going to all week, this is going to be my top priority. And while I'm still trying to work on my own clients' cases,
yeah,
like this isn't supposed to be my job.
Well, but I'm telling you, best of luck. And please, Nicole, keep us posted on what ends up happening, which is either that Wyandotte County is going to write another big fat check like Jackson County did, or they're going to change the policy. And when someone reached out to me to tell me this, Scott, the first thing I said was, again?
Nicole, thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks, guys. Okay. Have a good evening.
That's Nicole Forsyth with Forsyth Law, LLC.
Do you know what would not be happening? And I hate to make this about gender, but I'm sorry, only women have boobs. This is what would not be happening if there was a different policy that said in the belt region of every man, we are going to, I don't care if you're an attorney or if you're a juror, we're going to need to grope up under your genitalia to make sure you don't have anything in that sensitive area, that you are contraband. The second that happened to anybody, judge, jury, prosecutor, you know, it just wouldn't happen. And for them to say to these women, well, this is just the policy. Well, no, it's not. It wasn't the policy a month ago. Well, why is it the policy now?
A good lawsuit can cure that. I know you're thinking, well, does it have to come to that? Sometimes it does. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. If you want to weigh in here on Dana and Parks.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town, a dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Telephone number is 913-586-7798. Let's go to Ryan in KCK. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, folks. How are you?
We're well. Thank you.
As I was telling Screener, I used to work in both of those courthouses for years and years. And you've got a very good sheriff in charge down there. And we went from periods where metal detectors wouldn't even be turned on in the mornings, and you could walk in with just about anything, to the overside of it, which is, hey, I got to take my belt off when I go in there anymore. And, having conversations last week about a sheriff killing a judge in a courthouse, it just, you know, I understand that that's not appropriate to some respect, but, you know, you're going to have arguments either way.
But let's look at it a different way, Ryan, with respect to the sheriff who killed the judge. The sheriff was probably going to be armed anyway, but it doesn't mean just because you work for the public defender's office or you work for the prosecutor's office, you're any more or less likely, if you have a beef with someone, to come in with something you shouldn't have into a courthouse.
Well, it sounds like the reason is, and I may be inferring this improperly,
that you're working for the defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the DA gets a pass, the judges get a pass, because we know them.
Or anyone in the DA's office.
Right.
Like, so, do you give the DA a pass? I'd say probably. But this would go all the way down to those public defender, the DA employees.
Well, but why would you just give the DA a pass? Because
I agree with you.
In that small town in Kentucky last week, they gave the sheriff a pass.
Yep. Sheriff killed the judge.
Right there in his chambers. So anybody could do something stupid with a weapon, because
we have an update on that, by the way.
No, not so, that I'm aware of. I mean,
the rumors are still flying about
okay,
why
but what,
he
just
did
tell
it,
me
but,
what the well, rumors are,
they
Sam.
Had gone to lunch earlier in the day and were seen having a relatively pleasant, albeit political, conversation at their table. Go ahead, Sam.
I would prefer not to dive into them because they are that rumors.
Like salacious?
Yes. Yes.
Things that were allegedly happening with people who were allegedly related to people.
Okay.
Bad things.
I said last week, there's so much rage in what happened here. This is going to be personal. This isn't going to be, we had some argument at lunch over who I'm voting for. This is going to be personal, capital P.
But that's just it. They were seen at lunch having what one witness described as a relatively pleasant political conversation. So something happened between lunch and about 2:30 in the afternoon when they got back that did not go well, clearly.
There was also allegedly a case going on. Like I said, they're all rumors. I have no idea.
It says here, we were talking about Social Security last hour. This story from CNBC. Workers who pay into Social Security while they're working should expect benefits from the program when they retire. Yet 72% of American adults worry that Social Security will run out of funds in their lifetimes.
I don't worry about it. I just know it'll happen.
Yeah. I was going to say, is it 72%? You always have to ask, how did they ask this question in the survey?
Are you worried?
I would say I don't worry about it. Do I think it will be there in the same manner for me when it's my turn? No.
I bet the 28% that aren't worried are already retired.
Or rich.
Yeah, fair point. Meanwhile, 23% say they do not expect to receive even a dime of the Social Security benefits that they have earned. Millennials and Gen Xers are the most concerned about the program's funding. The pessimism comes as the program's future funding status is uncertain. It has been for years, friends. The trust fund the program relies on to pay retirement benefits is due to run out in 2033. At that time, just 79% of benefits will be payable. Okay. Where's Gen Z in here? It says millennials and Gen
Xers. Z was like, what are you talking about? Huh?
We're over here doom spending, y'all.
Huh?
I'm going to need two more mojitos.
They're doom spending. Very nice, Sam.
While many Americans worry about Social Security's future, they also don't fully understand how the program works. More than half of respondents, 51%, do not know how to maximize their Social Security benefits, and 33% are uncertain when they may qualify for full retirement benefits.
67 is full, isn't it?
I think it might now be 68.
60, you can take it, but you're kind of screwing yourself if you do, because it'll be low and it will be set low. I think it's 66 or 67, depending on your date of birth.
If you start working and paying into the program through payroll taxes at age 20 and then retire at age 65, you have a 45-year wage history.
Duh. Yeah.
Social Security will use your highest 35 earning years to calculate your benefit.
They lob off, I don't want to say lob off your very first years,
your
but for
10.
Most people, when you're, you know, cutting pizzas at the pizzeria and you're, you know, in your very first job where you're not making much money, that does not factor into the equation.
You can claim retirement benefits at the earliest at age 62, or you can wait until you're 70. That is the highest claiming age. At age 62, you will receive a permanently reduced benefit, meaning it only goes up with COLA. If you wait instead until full retirement age, 66 to 67, depending on when you were born, you will receive 100% of the benefits you earned. But if you wait even longer, you receive even more.
Yeah.
Most experts recommend waiting until the highest age at which benefits can grow, 70.
No way. You know why I don't like that? And I'm not here to dispense financial advice, but let me just tell you something.
Why you don't like it personally for
personally,
you.
Why I don't like it for me. And I said the same thing to my mom and dad. There's a sweet spot in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because 70 is a spectrum. You know this. You could retire at 65 and be an older, more decrepit 65 with blown knees, and you're not going to be out living your life. You could be a very healthy 70 and still go out and travel and do all the things you want to do, but you could also be an unhealthy 70. So I don't like the hard number. For me personally, it's how do you feel? You don't want to wait so long to get more money per month that you can't enjoy. What are you going to spend the money on? Tapioca pudding? Like a lifetime supply?
Yeah.
No.
There's cafeteria, of course.
Yeah.
For me, honestly, Scott, I want to retire at like 53. I've run the numbers. They're not good.
No comment?
They're not good.
They're not good. By not good, you mean they're terrible.
We've looked at the numbers.
They're not good.
And my money will last me until I'm 54.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The math ain't mathin'.
But it's not like, for me, it's not 70. That is a non-star. If you think I'm sitting in here with you until I am 70 years old, I've got some swampland in Alaska I'll sell you.
Well, there's other people that play into that, but yeah.
I'm just saying 70? No.
We're doing this till we're 90. We're not leaving that guy out there alone.
No, I'll hang with Sam as long as you want to. I'm just saying it ain't going to be 70.
Hurt my feelings. I
mean, these darn kids these days.
Oh, can you
imagine how grumpy we'll be?
Can you imagine?
Generation Alpha is out here dough spending. They don't see a chance of getting any Social Security money.
And how come someone hasn't bought my house yet?
Yeah, I could
see
that.
Interest rates are going down.
Our target demo would be the 65-plus crowd. And that's it.
Did you see the weather the other day? What they do with those green screens,
true.
Man?
It's true, man.
You're crazy.
That's what the show would sound like, honest to God. What's the forecast for tomorrow? And then Dana would read me the forecast, and then I would forget it.
We'd read the obituaries. Oh, did you see that? So-and-so died.
When did you say it was going to rain?
All right, 913-586.
Busby's buzzword of the day is Metamucil.
Right. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Greatest awful song of all time. All right, we got some news. Sort of college sports, but more NIL, NCAA. Sam, what do you got?
So we mentioned earlier that a famed USC football player who went on to the NFL is now suing the NCAA, the Pac-12, and
which
somebody else.
Barely exists, but okay.
For compensation after he did not receive any money throughout his time in the NCAA as the running back for USC, Reggie Bush.
Ooh.
Wants some money. He says that he brought a lot of eyeballs to the college, to their games, and with that, they profited off of him, his name, his image, his likeness, and he never saw a dime. In fact, he forfeited the Heisman Trophy in 2010 because there were allegations that he was in talks with sports marketers about cashing in on his name. And, yeah, all these years later, they decided that, oh, that's okay. You can actually go ahead and cash in
on that.
Well,
but that's not fair.
Why?
Because it would be akin to, first of all, the NIL system, which I'm not a fan of anyway, didn't exist in 2005 when Reggie Bush was playing college football. It would be akin to an old player from the NFL who was great, you know, back in the 60s or 70s. You know, take a Terry Bradshaw, for example, or a Lynn Swann. Just because I love the Steelers. And they come forward and they say, well, you know, they're paying quarterbacks $100 million every two seasons to play quarterback. I didn't even make $50 million in my entire career. They also, the Steelers are now giving performance bonuses to their players. We never got performance bonuses and we won 4 Super Bowls. The deals were different then. Were they better? No, not for the athlete, but they were different. You can't apply a 2024
lens
to a 2005 career.
Well,
I think in some aspects you can. Like when it comes to concussion protocol and what the NFL knew 30 years ago.
They were hiding information.
Well, yes. But I think there are certain aspects of sports where you can look back and go, okay, that was blanked up. That should be righted.
If there was wrongdoing, you'll get no argument for me. USC didn't treat him wrong, Lee. They offered him a scholarship. We will give you a free education if you'll come here and play football for us. But under the rules at the time, athletes were not allowed to be paid, either by the university, by a corporation, or by a booster.
And if they decided for some reason that we should grandfather some of these men and women in 10 years, it would bankrupt the system, wouldn't it?
Well,
and how would you even quantify what somebody's worth was? Even take like a Scott Pollard.
Right.
Well, we now know he became a great NBA player. What was his worth at KU when he played there? It would be impossible to calculate any of it.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they keep records on how many Reggie Bush jerseys were sold in sporting goods stores in Los Angeles at the time. Or even nationwide, I don't know.
Tons.
And keep in mind, well, that's fine. Keep in mind, Reggie Bush had to give up his Heisman Trophy because he was doing things that were wrong at the time. But you can't just retroactively go back. I mean, can you think of the thousands of horribly talented college football, basketball players over the years
yeah.
that would have a potentially the right to come forward and say, well, just because I played in 1979 and it's now 2024.
Where would you cut it off?
How can you quantify?
Well, but there's always going to be the players. This is who has the beef. The players that missed out on the NIL deal the year before. You know what
sure.
I'm saying?
Sure.
Like the seniors that were seniors 2 years ago when all of this talk started up that then missed out on the big money. Those are the players that you think deserve to be ticked off, but there's always a cutoff. Remember when they made marijuana legal? Mm-hmm. There was always going to be that guy that got caught the night before.
Yes. I mean, look at the deal that Joel Embiid signed the other day. 3 years, $192 million.
He's a billionaire club guy.
Can you imagine Michael Jordan coming forward and saying, well, you know, I'm better than Joel Embiid. I'm better than any player that's ever played the game of basketball.
But I think it's different because that's the contract you signed.
That's exactly my point. The scholarship is a contract. And nowhere in that contract in the early 2000s was there an allotment for name, image, likeness, money.
Was there a hush-hush under the table allotment, be honest?
I'm sure there was. That's why he had to give up his Heisman.
Okay, so...
Well, that was from a booster.
Okay, well, come on.
Well, the booster's not employed by the university.
Please.
He's just closely affiliated.
Yeah, right.
He gets the front seats.
Thank you.
And just so happened to own the pro shop where they sold all the jerseys that had his name on the back. Weird.
You know that stuff was going on.
Of course. It's always been going on. I remember when I went to the University of Nebraska in the late 80s, early 90s, Nebraska was a huge, and they still are, but they were a very successful football program at the time. There were a number of, shall I say, questionable vehicle choices driving around outside of campus from time to time.
Hey, you know what? Maybe they just bought a nice car,
and
Scott.
The people who got out of these Maseratis and Porsches were very large men.
Okay.
Maybe their families had money all of a sudden.
Okay.
All of a sudden.
Yeah, right. Bonus hour is next. We got to run. Don't forget to check out the podcast. It is available at KMBZ.com. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, and God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.